Today's scripture comes from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river of Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, to the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may be having good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make way your purposes, and then you'll have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord.
And again, we have the privilege of hearing God's word from Pastor Will Baker, who is a pastor at Mount Olive Baptist Church in Rankin, Pennsylvania. I was introduced to Will couple years ago through a mutual friend, Dr. Barry York, the president of the Reformed Presbyterian Seminary down in Pittsburgh. We've had Will come and preach at our church. We've been blessed by his ministry and considered a privilege to co-labor with him. Rankin, Pennsylvania. If you're new to the area, you probably don't know where Rankin is. I didn't, and so I had to look it up. If you want to surprise Will with a visit to his church, you'll find it in between downtown and Monroeville. So just drive around there somewhere, you'll find it. Rankin is a little bit of a drive, but worth the drive to listen to him. So, Will, we're glad to have you. Come on up.
Good morning, Geneva. I greet you with the grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I am here to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, life, death, and resurrection, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and proclaim that there is but one name of which every knee will one day bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, even Jesus the Christ. Is anybody excited about Jesus on the university campus today? Amen. It is good that you are excited about the Lord. It is good to see you all. It's good to be back. Because every time I have had the privilege to come here, I am just impressed that you all are the next generation, the present generation that God is going to use to bring his gospel to the very ends of the earth. Amen. So your lives are significant, and it is a privilege to be able to speak God's word into your lives, because I know how important this moment is, because I went to a Christian school and God did so many good things as I was open to his work and his word and his spirit's power on the campus of a Christian university that has set the trajectory for the rest of my life. So I just greet you all. Thankful to your president and his wife, President and Mrs. Trout, for this privilege, and to all you professors and brothers and sisters who are serving here. God's grace and Godspeed be with you. Amen. I was excited to be here, right? I was so excited, President Trout, to be here that I came to chapel yesterday. For real. His secretary, his assistant, asked me to come on September the 4th. I said, yes, Tuesday, September the 4th. I got permission from my boss to be here and drove out here, and I was the only one who showed up. So I didn't think you all wanted to hear me yesterday. But thanks for coming today. Amen. pray with me. How precious to us are your thoughts, O God. Search us and know our hearts. Try us and know our thoughts. See if there be any grievous way within us, and lead us to the way, the path everlasting. How precious to us are your thoughts, O God. Speak to us, we ask. We need a word from you. We need to hear from you. If we don't hear from you, we won't know what to do. We're wanting you more each day. So show us your perfect way, for there is no other way that we can live. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I want to talk to you, Geneva, from the subject, the swagger of a conqueror. Come on, look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor real quick. You got any swag? You got swag? What is your swag? Huh? Did you bring your swag? And amen. We're swagged up in the chapel this morning. And I really do. I want to talk to you about the swagger of a conqueror. I want to talk to some homesick freshmen. I want to talk to some confused sophomore, some discouraged junior, and some distracted senior. I just want to talk to you and let you know that God is not done with you yet. The journey is not finished here at Geneva, and that God wants you to conquer this year with courage and with faith and confidence in him, that God has put everything that you need to finish the journey of this school year inside of you, and whatever you don't have, he will make up the difference because God is with you. Amen? The swagger of a conqueror. Our text is Joshua 1:9, as has been read, and I believe we'll come back onto the screen. Joshua 1:9. And the Urban Dictionary, I don't know if this is an accredited dictionary at Geneva College, but the Urban Dictionary defines swagger as how one presents him or herself to the world. Swagger is shown from how a person handles the situations of life. Swagger can also be seen in the way you walk and in the way you talk and in the way that you dress. Amen? We see some people when they walk on the campus and when they walk into chapel, they just have swag dripping from them. And so the relevant question I want to ask you today is, how would you define your swagger in life? Do you have an athletic swagger? Can I have all the athletes say amen? Do you have an artistic swagger? Can all the fashionistas and all the artsy folks say amen? Amen. Do you have a scholarly swagger that you just are ready to master and understand everything that you do from high-level science to just tying your shoes and organizing your closet? Can all the professors say amen for a scholarly swagger? Amen. Yet there are others of us, if we are honest, who have a lazy swagger. It just was hard. Amen. It was hard to get to chapel this morning. It was hard to take a shower this morning. It was hard to brush your teeth. Don't talk to your neighbor and confess that to them this morning. Some of us have an I don't care swagger. I'm here because I'm here right now in life. And if I'm not here, it won't matter to myself or the world. There's some of us who honestly really do have a low self-esteem swagger that we don't see anything good about ourselves. All we can see is our flaws and our failures, and we're so cognizant of what we don't have and what we wish we had and what we think that we need. Well, today's text teaches us, as children of God, we should live life and approach this school year, students, with the swagger of a conqueror, as an achiever, as someone who has been empowered to do everything that God has called you to do and be everything that God calls you to be. One more time, or maybe a couple more times, but one more time, look back at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you have, come on, turn one more time, say, neighbor. Oh, good neighbor. You have the swagger of a conqueror. Hallelujah. In today's text, Geneva, Moses has recently died. And Joshua, his student, his apprentice, is being assigned by God to take Moses' place and lead the people of God into the purposes and the places where God has called them to rule and to reign. This is our calling as image bearers of God. My theological anthropology is right. We are called to be representatives of God in the world, to reflect his image and his character throughout creation. And God is leading his covenant people out of bondage, out of slavery, through the wilderness, and into now the promised places that he has for them to rule and reign. And if Joshua, this young whippersnapper, Joshua, this young man filling big shoes, is going to accomplish his assignment from God, he's got to have the swagger of a conqueror. He's got to be cool, calm, and collected. He's got to be ready for the assignment. For this reason, God says to him in Joshua 1:9, what we see on the screen, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed." Another text translation says, "Do not be terrified, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I want to share with you three mindsets you must possess if you're going to live and work this school year with the swagger of a conqueror. Number one, you must engage your assignment and your challenges believing you're going to win. I know we have this kind of mystique in the Christian community, like it's a bad thing to want to win. But God, if you know anything about God's story and throughout Scripture, God is a winner, amen? There is no enemy that can contest him. In fact, the psalmist, I preached Psalm 6 this past Sunday, and the psalmist is so disturbed by his sin and the calamity that God is punishing him with in his life because of his sin. The psalmist cries out to God and says, "God, how long am I going to have to go through all this pain? Because if I'm in trouble with you, there's nobody else who can help me. God, the only person who can turn your hand is yourself. Because there is no enemy that can defeat God." And as his children, I do believe we should have the mindset of a winner. And I believe that's what Joshua is saying in the first few words. Be strong and courageous. Be strong means do your work determined to complete the assignment. That's why the professors give you the homework, so that you can complete the assignment. Amen. That you should take that paper and grab it and say, "I'm going to do you. I'm going to complete this. I'm going to be successful." You should not wake up and begin your assignment, begin your schoolwork, begin your life, and just expect to lose. But God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. To be strong means to have the mindset that I am going to overcome. Then he says, be courageous. Simply face your challenges knowing that you can handle the adversity and believe that you are going to win. You have courage when you believe that, you know what, I can do this thing. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to face this challenge. Some of us need to walk back at our books and just say, "I'm going to win today." Some of us need to walk into the classroom in your next period and just look at the professor and say, "You know what? I'm going to win today." You'll probably scare them. They might not even assign you homework for next week. But they'll believe that you are strong and courageous. Athletes, if you will, come closer again. There's no pregame prep talk from the coach that begins with a losing mindset, is there? The coach never says, "Hey, guys, come on in close. Here it is. Okay, we're going out to play this team, and pretty much today we're gonna get our butts kicked. And so leave all your hustle back here. Don't try too hard, you know. Don't try to block any shots. Don't try to score any points. It's just, we're going to wrap it up a call today. Just go out, play for 60 minutes, and we'll go home." All right? 1, 2, 3, break! No coach prepares a team like that. But the coach, no matter how hard the adversity, no matter how strong your adversary, tells you to play to win.
Play to overcome. Play and dig deep so that you bring your courage and your strength to bear. And if you lose, you only lose after trying to accomplish something great. There's no failure if you attempt to touch the sun and land by the stars. In today's text, I believe God is challenging us through the example of Joshua, friends, to engage your life, engage your education, and even engage your adversities, even the sins you are struggling with at this moment that always seem to get the best of you, believing that this time God is going to give you the victory, that God has put everything you need inside of you to do what he's called you to do. He's looking at Joshua, who can be fearful at the faces of the people, fearful at the great assignment God's called him to, fearful at the shoes that he has to fill, and want to shrink back and go and hide. But God calls him to be strong and courageous because God has put everything in him that he needs to be who God's called him to be and do what God called him to do. Secondly, I believe the text teaches us this, that you cannot run away from your assignments and challenges thinking you're going to fail. Just the opposite of the first point. The text says, do not be frightened, do not be dismayed. Another translation says, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged. To not be frightened and to not be terrified means don't allow fear of your challenges or your enemies to cause you to run away in fear that you will fail if you pursue your assignment. Don't give up because you're scared. Don't throw in the towel because you don't think you have what it takes. God has called you to be strong and courageous. He says, don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed just because your assignment is hard. Don't tuck tail and run. Just because your assignment is hard does not mean that you're going to fail. And in fact, any great reward, anything worthy doing for God is going to be hard. That is what makes the reward so cherishing and makes the reward such a blessing, because you know that God had to show up in order for you to accomplish it. The things that matter the most are often the things we have to work the hardest to get. Amen? There's a story of a young woman named Khadijah Williams. Khadijah grew up in Los Angeles, California on Skid Row. Khadijah lived her whole adolescent life homeless with her mother and her sister. Khadijah's life was hard times. But the one thing that she felt that she could control in her life was how much she learned. Her sanctuary became the public library and her public school. And she worked as hard as she could to gain as much information as she can. Even though each night she would go and live with her mother and her sister, sometimes on the street, sometimes in a homeless shelter. Khadijah's mother, though she was a part of the difficulty in her life, would look at her and tell her, just because we're homeless doesn't mean you need to act like it. Khadijah would say that this pep talk from her mother, this challenge from her mother to not allow the circumstances of her life to define the possibilities over her life, it was always a great encouragement to her. And it motivated Khadijah to go from Skid Row, to go from her public high school, to go from the public library to the prestigious Harvard University to pursue her undergraduate career. Students, God has called you here to Geneva, and he is encouraging you through the word before us today and through the story of Joshua not to let tough times terrify you, not to let difficulty discourage you from completing your assignment, from being determined and having your gaze fixed on the goals and the purposes of God for your life. Life is hard. Anybody over 35 say amen? Life is hard. Homework is hard. Classmates are hard. Professors are hard. But don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Don't throw in the towel. You got this. Come on, one more time. Look at your neighbor. Say, you got this. Don't stay stuck in your dorm room. Don't stay out of relationship with people who want to encourage you. But surround yourself with people who will repeat God's word over your life and who will affirm God's work in your life. Make sure that you are in places where when you feel afraid, you don't let the terror of your difficulties and your enemies overtake you. You've got to think like a winner. You've got to not allow tough times to cause you to be scared and to give up. But thirdly and finally, you must engage your assignment and challenges knowing God is on your side. That's what the last few verses of this text tell us. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Many of you have come from all over the country, all over the world. And the God you learned about in your youth is the God who will take care of you even here in Beaver Falls. And maybe you don't know the Lord. But if you come to him in faith, trusting in the sinless life, the substitutionary death, and the victorious resurrection of his son, the promise that God gave to Joshua thousands of years ago is as real for you as it was for him. God will be with you wherever you go. Text says that God is on your side. God will be with you. This means to Joshua that God is promising to be with him as God was with Moses. God is saying to Joshua, Joshua, I have a track record. And when I give my promise to be with someone, I show up. I'm not late. In my tradition, they say God may not show up when you want him, but he's always on time. And Moses knew this. Moses asked God, how will I go and talk to Israel? How will I go to talk to Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world? And God says, have I not commanded you? The same words he is saying to Moses, I will be with you. Since I commanded you, no one can stand against you. And Moses goes in the power and the strength of the promises of God and stands before the most powerful man in the world and says, let God's people go. And Israel comes out of Egypt and bondage, and the enemies of God are crushed in the Red Sea. Because if God is with you, it's more than the whole world against you. We see this again because Joshua is going to fight the enemies of God in the land that God has promised him. That same promise to Moses, God is saying, Joshua, I will fight with you, fight for you and with you as I fought with Moses. We see this in one of the great stories of this faith in God's promise to be with his people in Joshua chapter 10. Particularly Joshua chapter 10 and verse 12. In Joshua chapter 10, Joshua, five kings have positioned themselves in an alliance to defeat Israel as they are moving forward and progressing in the promises of God. And they attack Joshua and the children of Israel, one kingdom against five other kingdoms. And God begins to throw these five kings and their army into confusion because God is fighting for Joshua. God is fighting for his people. And Joshua begins to fight the battle, and he begins to win the battle, and Joshua gets caught up in the victory of God while he's in the battle, and he wants to get the victory on that day, and he cries out in Joshua chapter 10 and verse 12. It reads like this, and at that time, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is there anybody in the house today with sun, stand still faith who believes that there are moments in our walk with God that God will bring us into challenges that are just too big for us. Yes, he promised that everything that we need is inside of us. Yes, he told us we don't have to be scared. We don't have to be afraid. But we get in front of Goliath. We get in front of the enemy and we realize, I can't handle this on my own. Here is where the final part of the promise comes in. That whatever God did not put in you to accomplish the task, God will complete for you. God will show up and fight on your behalf. You are never in the battle alone. That's how you have the swagger of a conqueror. For if we're honest, we all know that our own sin and our own brokenness, our own failure and our own shame reminds us that we have no sufficiency in and of ourselves, but we must look to Jesus to be our righteousness, to be our strength. There's just days when we don't have it, but God is a friend who will never fail us. The scripture teaches us that we can look to God and that he will come through and fight our battles when our battles are too big for us. My brothers and sisters, if you are a believer in Jesus and in the assignments of God on your life, when you stand against the enemies of God and the enemies against the purposes of God in your life, remember this, you are never alone. God is fighting for you, and when God is fighting with you, you will be successful, you will be fruitful. We learn this in the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus, on the night before he was to give his life for the salvation of the world, stands reflecting upon what God has called him to do. And there is a moment in his humanity where it seems that he wants to shrink back. And he prays, Father, if this cup can pass from me, let it pass. He prays it three times. He's serious about the anguish and the terrifying nature of his assignment. But as he seeks the face of the Lord, God does something in prayer that shifts the emotions and the mood of Jesus in his life's experience. And he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. Because he understands that God is with him. Christ is arrested by corrupt government and corrupt religion. He is taken to Golgotha's hill when he is hung high and stretched wide. They pierce him in his side. His blood flows from the piercing of his side and the crowns of thorn that are on his head. He's dying for you and I. And he knows the assignment is so important that he must go through tough times in order to accomplish God's purposes and plans in his life. And he cries. He's mocked by the crowds around him. But he will not give up because he knows God, his Father, is with him. After he's given all that he can give, his own body, his blood. One thing he says before he dies on the cross for our sins. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Jesus Christ trusts God with his life, with his assignment, because he knows he's not alone. God is with him. And he understands that he is safe in the master's hands. Do you know that today? For this is the promise that Christ has for you. When Christ rises on the third day and comes before he ascends on high to the throne of God, he stands before his followers as he commissions them to take the gospel throughout the world. He tells them to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I will be with you always. Let the church say always. To the very end of the age, I will be with you wherever you go. And to your hardest subject, in your relationships on campus, in tough conversations with your parents, in tough conversations with faculty and staff. God will be with you if you honor him and obey him with your life. This year, have the swagger of a conqueror, Geneva, knowing that everything that God's called you to do, he's put it in you. Therefore, you do not need to be afraid of your enemies, for God is with you. Amen? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We ask now that it would bear fruit in our lives as we are obedient to you. We trust in the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ to be who you've called us to be, to do what you call us to do, and to redeem us at that last day. This we pray in Christ's name. And everyone said amen, amen. And amen. God bless you.